Blog Talk Radio.
Praise your name, Lord. We worship your name, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for each other. We thank you that our families are complete in you. We thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift because it comes. Father God, we thank you for Bibles. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we say, have your way tonight. Holy Spirit, speak to us tonight. Reveal the word to us tonight. Hallelujah. Open up our ears and eyes of our understanding. Hallelujah. Let revelation, wisdom, and knowledge burst forth in our hearts. Oh God, bless us tonight as we receive and hear your word. Hallelujah. Let every, hallelujah, every seed, good seed, sown tonight, let it, hallelujah, bring forth a great harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing. Bless every family represented tonight, oh God, everyone on the call, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, meet everyone at the point of their need and then give them super abundantly above, oh God. Bless the team tonight. Bless all the co-workers in the kingdom, oh God.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Meet our needs in abundance. Fill and deliver and set any captives free. Hallelujah. Let your will be done. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given to us, even the responsibility to grow spiritually as we listen to your word, as we meditate upon your word, oh God. Continue to bless us as we walk the walk as well as talk the talk. And we give you the praise and we give you the honor and we give you the glory and we bless your name. And Father God, we thank you for spiritual authority.
Thank you, Jesus.
Turn on serpents and scorpions. Satan, we curse you from the root and command you to be bound in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Once again, oh God, we give you the glory. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We exalt your name. We bless your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Well, I got one today.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Where two or three are gathered in his name, he'd be in the midst. Thank you.
One can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000.
We thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, we have a special teaching we're going to do. I've gotten, in just the last week, two phone calls talking about their home and how we need to pray evil spirits, the demonic forces would leave their home. So I thought it would be a good thing to share with you how to anoint your home.
Praise God.
How to anoint your home. And we do that for three reasons. One, to bless our home. Number two, to protect our home. And number three, to cleanse our home.
All right.
And I'm going to rely on the teacher, preacher, Neil Reyes, to share that with us tonight. So I hope you have your pens and your pencils and your ink pens or
yes,
whatever, your notebooks and your Bible. I want to highlight scripture. Now, how to anoint
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called How to Anoint Your Home. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called How to Anoint Your Home. Another title I could give this teaching could be how to cleanse your home. In my time in ministry, I will tell you that I've often had people reach out to me and ask me if I would swing by their house and either anoint it or pray over it or turn around and cleanse it. I will tell you that they're all the same thing. And even though this is such an important topic, I will also tell you it's not something that's really taught about too often. I can't necessarily tell you why that is, other than it just hasn't been given a lot of attention. But I will tell you that most people in the churches that they go to, if you go to the heads of your church, whether it be your pastor or the pastoral staff or the elders, if you inquire about wanting someone to go by and pray or anoint your home, usually they have a person or a group of people dedicated to doing that function. Now, not all churches do. And I will tell you that if you lead a church and you're listening to this teaching, I highly encourage you to go before the Lord and pray about training up some people who can start to do this within your church. At the same time, if you just don't have those resources, there's nothing wrong with you partnering with other local churches within your area. And when people come with this type of a need, reaching out to them and asking if their staff or their people can help you out. We're one body of Christ, and it's time that we start helping each other out instead of always feeling like we're in competition with each other. That being said, I want to talk to you today about what it means to anoint your home and some simple steps you can do it. One of the first questions I get asked is, what does it mean to anoint your home? Well, to anoint your home simply means you turning around and anointing your home with either, usually it's with an anointing oil, but some people, especially based on what type of faith they are, especially if they're of a Catholic faith, they may choose to use holy water, and both are just fine. What I will tell you is that when I do it personally, I always use oil, but I always carry anointing oil on me. This is oil that has been consecrated for the use of the Lord's use only, and I anoint to cleanse homes when I'm using this oil. I use it for different things, but when I'm doing a prayer walkthrough or a cleansing of a home, I'll use this oil. Now, that being said, we should probably first discuss very quickly why we anoint and the different types of anointing there are. The Bible shows us very clearly that there's three different reasons why we anoint. The first reason why we anoint is to bless, the second one is to protect, and the third one is to break or to cleanse. I'll give you three quick examples of what each one was. If you go back to the story of the prophet Samuel, and when he went to King David, and he turned around and anointed David, this is before David was the king, but when he was a shepherd boy out in the field, the Lord had sent the prophet Samuel to go and anoint him to be the future king of Israel because Saul was no longer going to be king because of his rebellion towards God. When he sent the prophet Samuel to David, the prophet Samuel poured oil over his head and he anointed him. In other words, he blessed him to step into or fulfill the role that God had called him or purpose God had called him to fulfill. When we're blessed like that, we're blessing our we're blessing our abilities and we're blessing our resources, and he blessed him to fulfill that. The next one I want to share with you is blessing or as anointing for cleansing. If you remember in the word, the Lord was talking to his disciples and they tried casting out a demon out of someone and they were unable to do so. And in it, one of the scriptures, and there's different varying scriptures about this, but the scripture says that he told them that this type of demon can only come out through fasting and through anointing with water. He talked about actually anointing them with water to cast the demon out. That's for cleansing. You anoint to cleanse. And the third way goes back to the story of Moses when he was with the Israelites, when they were in the Hebrews, when they were in Egypt and they were in bondage under Pharaoh. God had already been sending his different plagues and things on Pharaoh to release his people, and Pharaoh didn't want to do so. So at the Feast of Passover, when he turned around and the Lord told Moses that to have every Hebrew person slaughter a lamb and put the blood on the lintel of the door, which means the top and sides of the door frame. That way, when the spirit of death passed through the land that night, it was going to take the firstborn child of every family that did not have that mark on there. That was an anointing for protection. So when we talk about anointing homes, the reason why we do it is to cleanse it of unclean or foul or demonic spirits out of that place. I will also tell you this, and this is extremely important. Anointing is not limited when you're anointing your home. It's not limited to just the house you stay in. If you are in the military or you travel for any reasons, I travel often, and when I do, before I ever get situated in my hotel, I always anoint it to cleanse it of any foul and unclean spirit that has ever operated or moved through that room. And I anoint the headboard of where I will be laying my head, and I speak good dreams over that situation. The reason why that's so important, especially in hotels, is because you have different people go through those hotels. They operate and act in different manners, and unclean spirits or demons are very real. That is a very real thing that exists. If you don't believe that and you think this is a wacky teaching, that's okay. But I'm telling you, this is a real deal. And when you do, you're simply cleansing it of those foul spirits so that they can't try to cling to you, or more than anything, just to clean them out so that you can turn around and have a clean environment. If you turn around and you do this in your own home, I will tell you that this is extremely important to do. Why? Because oftentimes if you're renting an apartment or renting a home or purchasing a home, there's been someone in that home before you, whether if it was the people who built it, whether if it was the people that remodeled it, or the people who lived there before you, there's been other people in that home, and it's important for you to anoint. I want to go over with you some simple steps or some simple questions that I've been asked that I hope clarify this for you a little further, and it's also going to clarify why it's important or how to anoint your home. The first question that we get asked is usually, how long does it take to anoint or to cleanse the home? I will tell you that obviously that's dependent on how big the house is, but for most homes, it usually takes about 20 to 30 minutes if the home is empty. If the home is not empty, then it certainly can take longer, and I'll explain why. With an empty home, and someone means, well, what do you mean with an empty home? Well, I will tell you that any home that I purchase for me and my family, before I ever move one thing into it, before I move one roll of toilet paper or paper towels or anything into that home, I'll turn around and I will anoint all, I will anoint the property line, the front, the back, and the sides. I will then turn around and I will open the front door and I will anoint the home and then begin my walkthrough or my cleansing walkthrough of the home before anything is moved in. I will tell you, though, that times of anointing a home can vary even if it's empty, because when you're going through a home, I've had times before where I'm anointing a home and the Lord will impress upon me emphatically when I enter a certain room that maybe there was child abuse or molestation or something that happened there before, and I have to cleanse that room and get those foul spirits or in their presence of those foul spirits, the remnant of those foul spirits, out of that place before I can continue on to the next room. So it depends. Now, for most people, they're not moving it. I mean, for some of you, this will benefit you in the future if you move into a new home, but most people are already established in their home. So the next question comes up is, can I anoint my home still even though I already have stuff in it? And the answer is yes. However, when you're anointing a home, one of the things I tell people when they ask is that as if I go through and anoint your home, if there's something that I feel has a foul spirit attached to it, I will cleanse that item. However, if I receive an instruction from the Lord that that item must go, you have to be willing to part with anything that's within this home. And I make sure they are in full agreement with that before I go in and invest my time in their home. The reason why is because if I tell them that their kitchen table's got to go, or their, you know, their coffee table in their living room, and they say okay, and we go put it outside, and I cleanse the home and leave, and they drag that coffee table right back in, that did no good, and it wasted my time. You must be willing to cleanse or depart from things that the Lord shows you to depart from. I'll give you a great example. Sometimes I encounter people who struggle with depression, and if they struggle with depression, I'll start asking them about it. Like, well, you know, where do you feel depressed the most? Oh, I feel depressed at my dining room table. Really? Well, tell me about the dining room table. How long have you had it? Well, it was passed down to me from my mom, and she received it from my grandma. And so I'll start asking, does your mom struggle with depression? Yeah, she struggles with depression. Does your grandma struggle with depression? Yeah, she struggles with it too. Well, then there you have it. Your grandmother passed down a generational curse to you through that table. It was a foul spirit that clinged to the table. And in addition to that, your mom got it, and then she passed it to you. Get rid of the table. That may sound silly, but I'm telling you that that is a very real thing. If you're doing this in a hotel setting, what I simply do is you can't go throw out the bed. I mean, it ain't your bed, it's the hotel. But simply go through and we'll do a prayer walkthrough and anoint everything within the room. The next question that I tend to get is who can perform a spiritual cleansing or prayer walkthrough or anointing of a home? The fact is, that's a good question, and the answer is, you can. Now, if you don't feel spiritually built up to do so, then you need to go to the leadership of your church and ask them to help you or direct you to someone who can. But it should be a trusted source, you know. I remember years ago when I first heard about this, the Lord was stirring it in my heart that it was something He wanted me to do. And we were getting ready to move into a new home. And so I went to one of the pastors of the church I was going to at the time. It was a pastor by the name of Pastor Tony. He's a really good man, someone I like and look up to. And as I went to him and asked him and I was talking about it, he was giving me information about what it meant to cleanse the home. And I asked him, well, can you do this or someone do this? And the question he bounced back at me is, well, why can't you do it? And I said, that's a good question. I don't know. Can I do it? I didn't know if I could. He said, yeah, you have to understand that you have authority as a believer to do so. You've been given permission to do so. And at that point, I never looked back. It was one of the greatest things I heard in my personal walk. And at that point, I went and did my prayer walkthrough, and I've been doing them ever since. The next question that I get is, when's the best time? The best time for you to do it is before you move anything into the home. However, second to that, if you've already got stuff in it, then the best time for you to do it is the moment you hear this teaching. The moment you first find out about it or hear about it, if you're married or you know, whatever, you need to get in alignment with whoever owns that home. Or if you're renting it, then you're in charge of that home. If you're married, you need to get in alignment with your spouse, and you need to do it at that time. The best time for you to do it is before you move anything into it, or once you learn about this, to go before the Lord and pray about it, and then to do it. You know, you don't have to be having kooky things happen within your house to benefit from a prayer walkthrough or anointing of your home. But I will tell you that oftentimes people have funny things or things in their house. They'll have certain sounds or things that they hear sometimes. And I'm not trying to say this to scare you, but it's important for you to do prayer walkthroughs of your home and consecrate them unto the Lord. The next question that we get are, what are the items that are needed? I will tell you, really, you only need two items. The first one is really a dedication scripture for your home. And that's not necessarily an item, but something that you go before the Lord and He directs you to in His Word. And you don't have to have a dedication scripture, but it's usually good because it establishes that you're anointing His home and standing on the Word. And you're anointing your home and you're dedicating the scripture over your home. That's an important thing. But the main thing you need is something to anoint the home with, whether that be anointing oil or holy water, but I strongly recommend anointing oil. And if you don't have anointing oil, it's not something special you got to go buy. You simply, if you have any type of oil in your home, but preferably olive oil, you simply get a little bit of olive oil, you put it in a separate dish, and you pray over that oil to consecrate it. And once you've done consecrating it, I usually exalt the name of Jehovah Makedesh over it, and that I am the Lord who consecrates. And when you exalt that name over it and you pray over that and dedicate it, that that's going to be used only for the anointing purposes of God. Once you're done anointing your home, you dump it out. You don't turn around and cook it. That oil cannot be used for anything else. If you want to save it for later use, you can, but you must always know that that oil cannot be used for anything else but to anoint. And the last thing I get asked is, how do I pray? I will tell you, praying is very simple, but this is how I do it. When I'm doing a prayer walkthrough of a home, I anoint the perimeter of the home first. In other words, I anoint the front and back property lines on the side. I will then turn around and I will go to the home and I will open the front door and I will at least make sure it's cracked. And I anoint the lintel of the door. I anoint the top of the door frame and the sides. You can make a sign of the cross or you can just simply swipe your finger over it. But I say, I anoint this home in the name of Jesus. And I dedicate this home to you, Father. And I exalt the name of Jehovah Shammah over that, that I am the God who's there. I exalt God over the home, that He's the God who's there. And then I just simply say, I speak to any foul or unclean or devilish or demonic spirit that's within this home. You are no longer allowed to be in this home. I'm dedicating it to the purpose of the Lord's use, and I am commanding you now to leave this house. Ministering spirits and angels, I command you to form a hedge of protection around me, but I command you to go through this home and cleanse any foul spirit that's in this home. And then you must leave that front door open. I guess you don't necessarily have to. Some people say, oh, you don't have to. I always do. Why? So in case something's in the home, it can get out. So I turn around and I leave the door open, and then I go room by room, and I anoint every wall I anoint every window, and I anoint every wall within the home. I don't get silly and try to anoint the roof and stuff like that or the ceiling, but I anoint all the walls. And as I'm praying, if you know how to pray in tongues or pray in the Spirit, then I will tell you it's beneficial for you to pray in the Spirit while you're doing this. But at the same time as you're walking through and you're praying over the home, you pray in the Spirit. If you don't know how to pray in the Spirit, then you just start, you know, praising the name of Jesus, or you start speaking his word and praying in your native language, whatever that is, English or whatever, you pray through the home. But it's best if you can pray in tongues. Why? Because when we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us, he's praying things that we don't even know or understand about, but he's praying things that need to be prayed for or prayed over. So as we go through the home, as you're going through it, if an image pops up in your mind or an idea, it could be that there is something foul within there. And if you encounter a foul spirit, that's nothing for you to get scared of. It's not like they can jump on you or anything like that. You don't want to be afraid of that. You have the authority of the believer on you. You simply turn around and speak to it and say, in the name of Jesus, foul spirit, I rebuke you and command you to leave this place now in Jesus' name. And you anoint the home and you continue going through. That's not a long, drawn-out battle. The fact is, the Word tells us that we're more than conquerors. We're the victors and not the victims. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed going in, and we're blessed going out. Praise God. Guys, I know this video was a little longer today, but this is an instructional video that I hope helps you. It's meant to help you be able to know how to cleanse your home and the homes of those around you and the loved ones you encounter. As always, we want to remind you to go by our website at neilreyes.com and check out all of our teaching resources, or you can find us on social media at YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. We stream all of our teachings 24 hours a day at no cost on our website and through our social media. We also invite you to subscribe, to like, follow, whatever it is. We invite you to get connected with us and then share these teachings with others. If you find these teachings encouraging, there's a strong chance others will too. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you so much, and have a blessed day.
Power.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's got questions, comments, clarity. I have a question.
Yes.
If the place is not cleansed, can a spirit from there attach itself to you?
Yes. That's why we pray for ungodly soul ties. If it's not cleansed, that's why you got to stay prayed up.
Yeah.
That's why you got to walk in the power of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Mm.
You got to stay prayed up.
Yes. Yeah.
When you go to folks' house, you go already prayed up. Hallelujah. When you walk into somebody's house, you might want to walk in, or just before you walk in, use your prayer language, because the Holy Spirit knows what's there and what you need to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
And then you step in.
Amen.
And if you feel something, if you get an unction from the Spirit, there's a foul spirit in the place. You take time to evict that from that place. That might not be the reason why you're there, but if you feel a foul spirit, you evict that spirit from the place. Glory to God. Hopefully, it's a saved person you're dealing with. If it's not a saved person, you just mumble on your breath. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't be here. Holy Spirit, lead me. You ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Sometimes he'll say, okay, he picked up that spirit. Or he said, no, get out of that place, because it's not a good place for you to be in. You know, especially if you're taking some children with you or whatever, you take some folk with you that are not as strong as you. You may need to say, well, look here, I think I need to come back later. But you have to ask, you know, as Neil Harris has said in the past, the answer to 1,000 questions is be led.
Yes.
Anybody else? Oh, excuse me. Go ahead, Pastor.
No.
I thought I heard someone else. Anyone else? Or are we the only two on Bible study tonight?
I think we're the only two. I had the cell phone and the okay. I turned on.
I'm sure that every time you hear something different, hear something new.
So one.
I did. I mean the.
Well, thanks.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
If you're over 64 years old, don't shop at Target or Walmart until you see this. The recently announced Flex Card.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Minute. Today, we're continuing our series on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and today we're talking about the gift. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Minute. Today, I'm going to teach you about something that is not spoken in churches often, but is extremely important to every believer. Today, we're going to talk about how to anoint your home. Get ready. Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called How to Anoint Your Home. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called How to Anoint Your Home. Another title I could give this teaching could be How to Cleanse Your Home. In my time in ministry, I will tell you that I've often had people reach out to me and ask me if I would swing by their house and either anoint it or pray over it or turn around and cleanse it. I will tell you that they're all the same thing. And even though this is such an important topic, I will also tell you it's not something that's really taught about too often. I can't necessarily tell you why that is, other than it just hasn't been given a lot of attention. But I will tell you that most people in the churches that they go to, if you go to the heads of their church, whether it be your pastor or the pastoral staff or the elders, if you inquire about wanting someone to go by and pray or anoint your home, usually they have a person or a group of people dedicated to doing that function. Now, not all churches do. And I will tell you that if you lead a church and you're listening to this teaching, I highly encourage you to go before the Lord and pray about training up some people who can start to do this within your church. At the same time, if you just don't have those resources, there's nothing wrong with you partnering with other local churches within your area. And when people come with this type of a need, reaching out to them and asking if their staff or their people can help you out. We're one body of Christ, and it's time that we start helping each other out instead of always feeling like we're in competition with each other. That being said, I want to talk to you today about what it means to anoint your home and some simple steps you can do it. One of the first questions I get asked is, what does it mean to anoint your home? Well, to anoint your home simply means you turning around and anointing your home with either, usually it's with an anointing oil, but some people, especially based on what type of faith they are, especially if they're of a Catholic faith, they may choose to use holy water, and both are just fine. What I will tell you is that when I do it personally, I always use oil, but I always carry anointing oil on me. This is oil that has been consecrated for the use of the Lord's use only, and I anoint to cleanse homes when I'm using this oil. I use it for different things, but when I'm doing a prayer walkthrough or a cleansing of a home, I'll use this oil. Now, that being said, we should probably first discuss very quickly why we anoint and the different types of anointing there are. The Bible shows us very clearly that there's three different reasons why we anoint. The first reason why we anoint is to bless. The second one is to protect. And the third one is to break or to cleanse. I'll give you three quick examples of what each one was. If you go back to the story of the prophet Samuel, and when he went to King David and he turned around and anointed David, this is before David was the king, but when he was a shepherd boy out in the field, the Lord had sent the prophet Samuel to go and anoint him to be the future king of Israel because Saul was no longer going to be king because of his rebellion towards God. When he sent the prophet Samuel to David, the prophet Samuel poured oil over his head and he anointed him. In other words, he blessed him to step into or fulfill the role that God had called him or purpose God had called him to fulfill. When we're blessed like that, we're blessing our we're blessing our abilities and we're blessing our resources, and he blessed him to fulfill that. The next one I want to share with you is blessing or as anointing for cleansing. If you remember in the Word, the Lord was talking to his disciples, and they tried casting out a demon out of someone, and they were unable to do so. And in it, one of the scriptures, and there's different varying scriptures about this, but the scripture says that he told them that this type of demon can only come out through fasting and through anointing with water. He talked about actually anointing them with water to cast the demon out. That's for cleansing. You anoint to cleanse. And the third way goes back to the story of Moses when he was with the Israelites, when they were in the Hebrews, when they were in Egypt and they were in bondage under Pharaoh. God had already been sending his different plagues and things on Pharaoh to release his people, and Pharaoh didn't want to do so. So at the Feast of Passover, when he turned around and the Lord told Moses that to have every Hebrew person slaughter a lamb and put the blood on the lintel of the door, which means the top and sides of the door frame. That way, when the spirit of death passed through the land that night, it was going to take the firstborn child of every family that did not have that mark on there. That was an anointing for protection. So when we talk about anointing homes, the reason why we do it is to cleanse it of unclean or foul or demonic spirits out of that place. I will also tell you this, and this is extremely important. Anointing is not limited when you're anointing your home. It's not limited to just the house you stay in. If you are in the military or you travel for any reasons, I travel often, and when I do, before I ever get situated in my hotel, I always anoint it to cleanse it of any foul and unclean spirit that has ever operated or moved to that room. And I anoint the headboard of where I will be laying my head, and I speak good dreams over that situation. The reason why that's so important, especially in hotels, is because you have different people go through those hotels. They operate and act in different manners, and unclean spirits or demons are very real. That is a very real thing that exists. If you don't believe that and you think that's a wacky teaching, that's okay. But I'm telling you, this is a real deal. And when you do, you're simply cleansing it of those foul spirits so that they can't try to cling to you, or more than anything, just to clean them out so that you can turn around and have a clean environment. If you turn around and you do this in your own home, I will tell you that this is extremely important to do. Why? Because oftentimes if you're renting an apartment or renting a home or purchasing a home, there's been someone in that home before you, whether if it was the people who built it, whether if it was the people that remodeled it, or the people who lived there before you, there's been other people in that home, and it's important for you to anoint. I want to go over with you some simple steps or some simple questions that I've been asked that I hope clarify this for you a little further, and it's also going to clarify why it's important or how to anoint your home. The first question that we get asked is usually, how long does it take to anoint or to cleanse a home? I will tell you that obviously that's dependent on how big the house is. But for most homes, it usually takes about 20 to 30 minutes if the home is empty. If the home is not empty, then it certainly can take longer, and I'll explain why. With an empty home, and someone means, well, what do you mean with an empty home? Well, I will tell you that any home that I purchase for me and my family, before I ever move one thing into it, before I move one roll of toilet paper or paper towels or anything into that home, I'll turn around and I will anoint all, I will anoint the property line, the front, the back, and the sides. I will then turn around and I will open the front door and I will anoint the home and then begin my walkthrough or my cleansing walkthrough of the home before anything is moved in. I will tell you, though, that times of anointing a home can vary even if it's empty, because when you're going through a home, I've had times before where I'm anointing a home and the Lord will impress upon me emphatically when I enter a certain room that maybe there was child abuse or molestation or something that happened there before, and I have to cleanse that room and get those foul spirits or in their presence of those foul spirits, the remnant of those foul spirits, out of that place before I can continue on to the next room. So it depends. Now, for most people, they're not moving. I mean, for some of you, this will benefit you in the future if you move into a new home, but most people are already established in their home. So the next question comes up is, can I anoint my home still even though I already have stuff in it? And the answer is yes. However, when you're anointing a home, one of the things I tell people when they ask is that as if I go through and anoint your home, if there's something that I feel has a foul spirit attached to it, I will cleanse that item. However, if I receive an instruction from the Lord that that item must go, you have to be willing to part with anything that's within this home. And I make sure they are in full agreement with that before I go in and invest my time in their home. The reason why is because if I tell them that their kitchen table's got to go or their, you know, their coffee table in their living room, and they say okay, and we go put it outside, and I cleanse the home and leave, and they drag that coffee table right back in, that did no good, and it wasted my time. You must be willing to cleanse or depart from things that the Lord shows you to part from. I'll give you a great example. Sometimes I encounter people who struggle with depression, and if they struggle with depression, I'll start asking them about it. Like, well, you know, where do you feel depressed the most? Oh, I feel depressed at my dining room table. Really? Well, tell me about this dining room table. How long have you had it? Well, it was passed down to me from my mom, and she received it from my grandma. And so I'll start asking, does your mom struggle with depression? Yeah, she struggles with depression. Does your grandma struggle with depression? Yeah, she struggles with it too. Well, then there you have it. Your grandmother pressed down a generational curse to you through that table. It was a spouse spirit that clinged to the table. And in addition to that, your mom got it, and then she passed it to you. Get rid of the table. That may sound silly, but I'm telling you that that is a very real thing. If you're doing this in a hotel setting, what I simply do is you can't go throw out the bed. I mean, it ain't your bed, it's the hotel. But simply go through and we'll do a prayer walkthrough and anoint everything within the room. The next question that I tend to get is who can perform a spiritual cleansing or prayer walkthrough or anointing of a home? The fact is, that's a good question, and the answer is, you can. Now, if you don't feel spiritually built up to do so, then you need to go to the leadership of your church and ask them to help you or direct you to someone who can. But it should be a trusted source, you know. I remember years ago when I first heard about this, the Lord was stirring it in my heart that it was something he wanted me to do. And we were getting ready to move into a new home. And so I went to one of the pastors of the church I was going to at the time. It was a pastor by the name of Pastor Tony. He's a really good man, someone I like and look up to. And as I went to him and asked him and I was talking about it, he was giving me information about what it meant to cleanse the home. And I asked him, well, can you do this or someone do this? And the question he bounced back at me is, well, why can't you do it? And I said, that's a good question. I don't know. Can I do it? I didn't know if I could. He said, yeah, you have to understand that you have authority as a believer to do so. You've been given permission to do so. And at that point, I never looked back. It was one of the greatest things I heard in my personal walk. And at that point, I went and did my prayer walkthrough, and I've been doing them ever since. The next question that I get is, when's the best time? The best time for you to do it is before you move anything into the home. However, second to that, if you've already got stuff in it, then the best time for you to do it is the moment you hear this teaching. The moment you first find out about it or hear about it, if you're married or you know, whatever, you need to get in alignment with whoever owns that home. Or if you're renting it, then you're in charge of that home. If you're married, you need to get in alignment with your spouse. and you need to do it at that time. The best time for you to do it is before you move anything into it, or once you learn about this, to go before the Lord and pray about it, and then to do it. You know, you don't have to be having kooky things happen within your house to benefit from a prayer walkthrough or anointing of your home, but I will tell you that oftentimes people have funny things or things in their house. They'll have certain sounds or things that they hear sometimes, and I'm not trying to say this to scare you, but it's important for you to do prayer walkthroughs of your home and consecrate them unto the Lord. The next question that we get are, what are the items that are needed? I will tell you, really, you only need two items. The first one is really a dedication scripture for your home. And that's not necessarily an item, but something that you go before the Lord and he directs you to in his word. And you don't have to have a dedication scripture, but it's usually good because it establishes that you're anointing his home and standing on the word. And you're anointing your home and you're dedicating the scripture over your home. That's an important thing. But the main thing you need is something to anoint the home with, whether that be anointing oil or holy water, but I strongly recommend anointing oil. And if you don't have anointing oil, it's not something special you got to go buy. You simply, if you have any type of oil in your home, but preferably olive oil, you simply get a little bit of olive oil, you put it in a separate dish, and you pray over that oil to consecrate it. And once you've done consecrating it, I usually exalt the name of Jehovah Makedesh over it, and that I am the Lord who consecrates. And when you exalt that name over it and you pray over that and dedicate it, that that's going to be used only for the anointing purposes of God. Once you're done anointing your home, you dump it out. You don't turn around and cook it. That oil cannot be used for anything else. If you want to save it for later use, you can, but you must always know that that oil cannot be used for anything else but to anoint. And the last thing I get asked is, how do I pray? I will tell you, praying is very simple, but this is how I do it. When I'm doing a prayer walkthrough of a home, I anoint the perimeter of the home first. In other words, I anoint the front and back property lines on the side. I will then turn around and I will go to the home and I will open the front door and I will at least make sure it's cracked. And I anoint the lintel of the door. I anoint the top of the door frame and the sides. You can make a sign of the cross or you can just simply swipe your finger over it. But I say, I anoint this home in the name of Jesus. And I dedicate this home to you, Father. And I exalt the name of Jehovah Shammah over that, that I am the God who's there. I exalt God over the home, that he's the God who's there. And then I just simply say, I speak to any foul or unclean or devilish or demonic spirit that's within this home. You are no longer allowed to be in this home. I'm dedicating it to the purpose of the Lord's use, and I am commanding you now to leave this house. Ministering spirits and angels, I command you to form a hedge of protection around me, but I command you to go through this home and cleanse any foul spirit that's in this home. And then you must leave that front door open. I guess you don't necessarily have to. Some people say, oh, you don't have to. I always do. So in case something's in the home, it can get out. So I turn around and I leave the door open, and then I go room by room, and I anoint every wall. I anoint every window, and I anoint every wall within the home. I don't get silly and try to anoint the roof and stuff like that or the ceiling, but I anoint all the walls. And as I'm praying, if you know how to pray in tongues or pray in the spirit, then I will tell you it's beneficial for you to pray in the spirit while you're doing this. But at the same time, as you're walking through and you're praying over the home, you pray in the spirit. If you don't know how to pray in the spirit, then you just start, you know, praising the name of Jesus, or you start speaking his word and praying in your native language, whatever that is, English or whatever, you pray through the home. But it's best if you can pray in tongues. Why? Because when we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us, he's praying things that we don't even know or understand about, but he's praying things that need to be prayed for or prayed over. So as we go through the home, as you're going through it, if an image pops up in your mind or an idea, it could be that there is something foul within there. And if you encounter a foul spirit, that's nothing for you to get scared of. It's not like they can jump on you or anything like that. You don't have to be afraid of that. You have the authority of the believer on you. You simply turn around and speak to it and say, in the name of Jesus, foul spirit, I rebuke you and command you to leave this place now in Jesus' name. And you anoint the home and you continue going through. It's not a long, drawn-out battle. The fact is, the Word tells us that we're more than conquerors. We're the victors and not the victims. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed going in, and we're blessed going out. Praise God. Guys, I know this video was a little longer today, but this is an instructional video that I hope helps you. It's meant to help you be able to know how to cleanse your home and the homes of those around you and the loved ones you encounter. As always, we want to remind you to go by our website at neilreyes.com and check out all of our teaching resources, or you can find
Power On.
As I was listening, a couple of things came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, African Americans, they celebrate their blackness by having sculptures or pictures around from Africa. And the thing about it is that many of the sculptures and the pictures and all were dedicated to spirits, to God, false gods. And they had to be removed from the house. You got those sculptures that may look pretty, but it's a false god, and you guys sitting on it, and you wonder why you're depressed all the time and like trouble's always at your house. You got to cleanse your house. There are so many other things that we think, you know, the antique stuff, we got to make sure that these things were not dedicated to God, to false God. And, you know, the evil spirits will come in any way they can, but you're a victim in Jesus' name. Any more questions you have?
When I was listening, I had a question, but I didn't want to stop it.
When that happens, if you can jot it down just real quickly. What were they talking about? Maybe better. What was he talking about?
Oh, the holy. Well, I know the holy water.
Okay, that sounds like it's coming from a different a Bible version.
He said, I guess depending on if you were Catholic, he would think that if you would be using holy water.
Yes.
But if you're not in Catholic Church, he said you were using the anointed oil.
Yes.
But I've also heard of people finding themselves in this spot and needing to anoint something, and they were led to use the Crisco. It was like a symbol. God knew their heart, and they didn't have the anointed oil, so they prayed over their Crisco.
Okay, but the key is, It becomes something else. That's why you can't use it again at cooking your chicken.
Right.
Anointed it. So you got to pour a little bit out of that into another container.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can pray over that and use it. But it can't be used to cook anymore. So you're not going to pray over the whole bottle of Crisco oil. You're going to pour a little bit out into another container, another jar, or like he was mentioning, a bowl or whatever, and then you pray over that. When you finish, you either, put it in a container and keep it when you have to anoint again, or you can pour it out. But it's been anointed by God through your prayer to do specific things. So that's interesting. I had some concerns about the water, fasting and pouring holy water. That is interesting, because I haven't seen I don't remember seeing that in King James Version, but it may be in some other Bible. Plays it with the holy water, but anointing, it's so important. People don't know the power that you have, and that's the point of contact. When you bless it, you dedicate it to the Lord, and then that's the point of contact, because it's like a residue. Molecules will still be there years after, it would seem, of the holy oil. That's why the doors, why you hear me talk about doors and lintels of our hearts and doors and lintels of our homes. It's all the doors, all the windows. And You can just swipe it one time, just a little finger swipe, or you can put the sign of the cross, and it's not doing the complete surface of the door frame. But what I had done, I was actually put the sign of the cross on the door itself. And as we're thinking, get a scripture. I'm thinking a good scripture. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would be a great dedication scripture. What do you think?
Number what?
As a dedication scripture. As for me and my house,
we will serve the Lord.
I'm
thinking it's perfect.
You know, and I'm wondering if there's a like on Amazon, if they have that like on a plaque. We could get a bunch of those and get some oil, a larger bottle of oil, and say if you want to anoint your home. And you can hang this flag somewhere in your home after you anoint your home.
Praise God.
And that would be another way of really another way of a blessing your home, even having that. You know, people come in and they say, "It's for me and my house, we serve the Lord." They see that.
They know you're serious.
That's right. Because I know I went into, when I was doing, we call it what we used to do, and we go to meetings. What they call that? But anyway, it was like buying products and stuff like that. I went over to a meeting at this one guy's house, and he had a picture, a big picture of the devil on his wall sitting on the toilet. They kind of let me out of that one.
Well,
Lord have mercy. But anyway, so I thank God. Anybody else have any questions? I'm surprised that nobody called. I don't know. Especially, he definitely needed to hear this about cleansing his home. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow in morning worship.
But AJ had given, it feels like a, it's a, and not a brick, but it feels like a slab that you would, a stepping stone that you would put in your yard, and it's Joshua 24:15, and that's what, I'm going to read it from out of the,
Choose
you this day, whom you serve. Yes, I am in the International Bible. It says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
It is.
It's right on this table, the table down here where you put your hat at.
All right. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Serve the Lord.
And is that what, all of that is on that brick or just that last part?
That's the last part. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's in Joshua 24:15.
And you said that's a brick?
It feels like when she came back from a trip or somewhere, I don't know which one, she gave it to me. It feels just like a, just like if you were laying marble in a marble floor, it's a slab. It feels like brick. It's like a 14x14.
If they have some stuff that says that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See if they had plaques or something with that on it.
I'm sure they do. These magazines that come from, you know, from the different Christian bookstores, I'm sure they have those.
So they had something like that. But I'm thinking we will train a team to go around and anoint houses. People want their homes to be blessed, anointed.
Yeah, and tell them how to do it and give them some oil and tell them when they go home give them some homework and let them do it.
Uh-huh. Yes, indeed. But that is good. Praise the Lord. Boy, man, we got 31 minutes left. Let me look at, I want to go to,
When he was talking about anoint, when he traveled and he anoints the hotel room, I thought he was going to say it. Well, it made me think about when we were going to Vegas and Leslie had told me and what to do when we get on the airplane. And she said she anoints both sides of, she anoints the airplane while she going into it. And it's just what I did.
All right.
All on my hand. Every time we've done it, I touched the size of that airplane door as I was getting on.
All right. And your seat, too. You need to do that, too. Amen. But that is a good thing.
Yes. You never know. But I guarantee you the average child of God don't think about
that. Because the average child of God, they believe, some of them don't believe in angels. And some of them that do believe in angels don't believe in demons. And if they do believe in demons, they don't want to talk about it, you know, because they're fearful of them.
Yeah.
But they're real. And
but I think and some of them, when they start talking about stuff that you can't see, they think, oh, gosh, you're getting spooky now. But if the spirit of God is real, the spirit of the enemy is real, too. If there's a heaven, and that's where we want to go when we die, there is a hell, too. You don't know it's one, you got to know it's the other. It's real.
Amen. I know that's right. We thank God for that. I was hoping I could find that script, that teaching that had to do with, what you call it, about sleep. Let me see if this is it.
Anyone in the United States qualified for the spending allowance. The state is giving everyone this. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Men. Today we're continuing our series on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and today we're covering the interpretation of tongues. Get ready.
Okay, that's interpretation of tongues. Okay. Hey, what's this? Okay.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Men. Today we're continuing our series on the types of prayer, and today we're covering praying in the Spirit. Get ready.
Did you find it?
No. Talking about praying in the Spirit.
Well, that's one thing you ought to do. And he did mention that. When you don't know, you know, what has gone on in that place, and you feel there's a spirit, but a false word, you don't know what it is. He said, pray in the Spirit.
Power on.
All right. So maybe
Bluetooth connected.
Called praying in the Spirit. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called praying in the Spirit. And in fact, as I was before the Lord, you know, right now we're covering the different types of prayer, and we've been covering them over the past couple weeks. And today we're covering praying in the Spirit. But as I was before the Lord and was seeking exactly what he wanted me to teach on this subject and how he wanted me to get it across, one of the things he showed me was that we're actually going to take more than one day to cover this particular topic. When we talk about praying in the Spirit, we're specifically talking about praying in tongues. Now, praying in the Spirit doesn't have to be directly praying in tongues. It could also be praying in your native language, whatever that is, whether that's English or something else. But most of the time when you're praying in the Spirit, you're actually speaking in tongues. And since this is such a broad subject, or I should say such a big subject that people have so many opinions about, and most opinions are just based on secondhand knowledge that they've heard. In fact,
do you want to hear this one or the one that talks about all the benefits?
Isn't that it?
No. This is part one. Let me do the part two.
Yes, do the one with the benefits. Hold on, do that.
I know.
This is your new go-to tool. If you love working in your garden, it's so strong it easily rips through almost.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Minute. Today, we're continuing our series on types of prayer, and today's teaching is part two of praying in the Spirit. Get ready. Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called praying in the Spirit, and this is part two in this teaching. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called praying in the Spirit, and this is part two in this teaching. If you didn't catch yesterday's teaching, I highly advise you to go back as we gave some really good foundational work as far as what praying in the Spirit is, which is referred to as oftentimes praying in tongues. So if you didn't watch that, I invite you to go back and check that out and then pick us back up on this video. Your learning, I believe, will be increased. Obviously, as you know, if you've been with us, we're right now covering the last couple weeks different types of prayer that are covered in the Bible. In fact, we're covering 9 different types of prayer that we feel the Bible talks about. We list these as main prayers the Bible states in the Bible. And as we're doing that, one of the things that we're covering now is praying in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit is often referred to as praying in tongues. It doesn't always have to be praying in tongues. You can certainly pray in the Spirit in your native language, but usually praying in the Spirit revolves around praying in tongues. And tongues, for a lot of people who don't understand what tongues is, tongues is simply a prayer language you receive from the Lord that allows you to communicate directly with Him. The reason why people sometimes don't understand it is because there's so many opinions floating around in the world, even within churches, about what it is or isn't. And I will tell you that there's a great lack of understanding within the body of Christ on what tongues is, its effectiveness, and how to use it, and why it's beneficial. Today we're going to cover some of the benefits, not all, it's not an exhaustive list, but today we're going to be covering a list of items that are why speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit is beneficial. These are things I found true within my own life, and I'm certainly excited to share them with you. You know, it tells us in the Word that the Lord tells us His Word that my people perish for a lack of knowledge or lack of understanding. When people have a lack of understanding about how God operates, about what His Word says, and about how His Spirit moves, then we're hindered or limited in our knowledge and receiving complete and total victory through Christ. Why? Because if you don't understand all of His Word, if you don't understand how His Spirit moves, and you don't understand His character, how are you ever supposed to apply that, walk in confidence with that, and be able to go boldly before the throne in prayer for the things you need answers to, or the things you need, or the things you desire to be able to help yourself or help others out? I'm going to tell you, praying in the Spirit is what I consider to be one of your most valuable weapons within your spiritual arsenal. In fact, for me, I believe that this is such an impactful and powerful gift that's been given to you as a believer. It's your right as a believer, that it ranks up there with being able to leverage the name of Jesus than being able to leverage the blood of Jesus. Praying in the Spirit is so important. And as believers, when we know what that is and how to leverage it, it increases our walk. Now, a couple things I want to clarify. Sometimes people think that when they pray in tongues, there always has to be an interpretation. And that's actually not accurate. What we're going to do starting next week is we're going to be covering the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those are broken down actually into 3 groups of 3. You have your power gifts, your inspirational or motivational gifts, as they're referred to sometimes, and then you have your revelation gifts. Your inspiration or motivational gifts are actually 3 different gifts. That's the gift of speaking in tongues, it's the gift of interpreting in tongues, and the gift of prophecy, which ties the two together. And when I say ties the two together, we'll get to that and what that actually means. So stay tuned with us if you really want to learn what this subject is about, because this is so important for you to know as a believer. I want to start off with a little bit of foundational teaching, foundational scriptures, I should say, and then I'm going to go right into the benefits of speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit. The first thing we want to go into is 1 Corinthians, and this is 14:2. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, when we talk about this, when it says about speaking mysteries and that no one understands him, no one understands him unless there's an interpretation. Like I said, we're going to get to that. But we'll get to that next week, or in our next series, I should say. But that being said, speaking in tongues or speaking in mysteries means that you may not understand naturally what you're praying about, but praying in tongues is when the Holy Spirit prays through your spirit man directly to the Father. Again, praying in tongues is when you yield to the Holy Spirit and you allow the Holy Spirit to pray through your spirit man directly to the Father. I want to read you another one, and this is out of the book of Romans. There are so many teachings out there, people or faith-driven denominations, and this is not knocking on anybody, but some people just believe that speaking in tongues is not real anymore. It doesn't exist. It only operated during a short period during the books of Acts, which is right after Jesus, you know, right after his resurrection, and the apostles were filled in the upper room with all the other 120 who were there, Gentiles alike and everything, and they started speaking in tongues, and people wondered what was going on with that, okay? What I'm going to tell you is that speaking in tongues, okay, is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow we're going to talk about how to receive the gift. Today we're going to talk about the benefits, okay? Now, one thing I want you to know, sometimes when people hear a tongue, they may not understand it, and they're wondering what language that is. Now, here's something the Lord wanted me to, that he impressed upon me to share with you. When someone speaks in a tongue, they're either in tongues of a man or they're tongues of an angel. And what I mean is they're tongues of man or tongues of angels. If they're tongues of men, that doesn't have to be a current language or dialect that's in this world today. It could be something from the past that doesn't exist anymore or is not in practice anymore. At other times, when it's in the language of an angel, I will tell you that sounds much different. One time I was at a Bible study that I led, and afterwards we got in prayer, and as we did a prayer circle, there was someone who really needed some prayer, so we came to the middle, we laid hands on them and prayed. And as we did, I just encourage everybody, if you know how to pray in the Spirit, start praying now so we can magnify God's presence. It was something I felt impressed to do. So corporately as a group, we started praying in the Spirit. As we did that, one of the things happened, this one lady went off on the tongue, and I'm like, what is that? But we prayed, and we turned around, and we prayed over this person. They received their healing, just so you know. Well, the Lord turned around, and I asked him later, Lord, what was that? I've never heard that before. And he shared with me that what I had witnessed or heard was a tongue of angels. So sometimes when we pray, it's not just in tongues of men, it's in tongues of angels. Let's go ahead and go into what the benefits are. But before I do, let me read to you the scripture out of Romans. The scripture out of Romans is Romans 8:26. This is what it says. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That being said, let's go into the benefits of praying in tongues or speaking in the Spirit. Yesterday we talked about what it is. Today we're talking about some of the benefits, not all of them, but some of the benefits. And tomorrow we're going to talk about how to receive the gift if you don't have it already and how to leverage or use it. Let's go ahead and go into our list. These are the benefits of praying in the Spirit. Direct fellowship with God. It allows you to have direct fellowship with God. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit praying through your spirit to God. Praying in the Spirit brings rest, refreshing, and peace. Oftentimes when you turn around and you pray in the Spirit, I will tell you at times when I've been unsettled or uneasy about a situation, maybe I have a strong worry that's trying to come on me, and I cast it, I literally get it and throw it on the Lord, which we talked about that last week or earlier, I should say, in this series. When we do that, praying in tongues will often bring you rest, refreshing, but it also brings you peace and calm to your situation. Let's continue reading. Now, in addition to that, we also have personal edification. In other words, this builds us up spiritually. A lot of times people try to use their justification that you shouldn't speak in tongues because it only personally edifies you. But they don't know what edifying means. Edification is the act of building yourself up. But it's not just building yourself up physically. What you're doing is you are building yourself up spiritually. In other words, you're strengthening or growing your spirit man. Let's continue reading. We also have builds up God's presence and the atmosphere we're in. Sometimes when I go in to do a teaching, whether if it's in the past when it was a Bible study or if I was leading a class or if I'm turning around and I'm going in to minister to a large crowd or whatever, you know, if I'm invited to convention, I'll often get there early and go in that atmosphere and start speaking in the Spirit or praying in the Spirit, I should say, to magnify God's atmosphere in that environment so that his works can be done. Let's continue.
We also have it elevates or magnifies your level of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. We have the ability to praise in the spirit, and so this elevates, magnifies your or magnifies your level of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. It also helps to increase our sensitivity to being led and hearing God's voice. One of the things that people turn around and ask me probably most often is, how can I hear from God better? Well, in order to be led by the Holy Spirit or to hear God's voice better, the more time you spend praying in the Spirit, the more that will increase within your life. It creates a sensitivity to being led and hearing God's voice. The next one we have is it develops God's anointing and increases its presence. So again, it develops God's anointing within your life, and it increases its presence. In other words, there's times when you spend time praying in the Spirit, that anointing that's on you, it develops it. And as it increases it, you'll get clear understanding of what it is you need to do, what your next steps are, exactly how to grow in that. It builds that anointing on your life. And remember, anointing is when God blesses your abilities or your resources to accomplish his works that he's called for you to do within his within your life. And that brings glory to him. The next one we have is that it also allows us to pray about the future. And then the next one we have is it enables God to arrange deliverance and or protection for us or others. This is one of the most valuable things by praying in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, it allows us to be able to pray about the future, our future or just the future in general, and it allows us to impact that. It tells us in Romans 4:17 that we have the ability to call things not as they were, but as they're meant to be. It also allows us that when we pray, it enables God to arrange protection or deliverance for us or others. Now, when I say it enables God, sometimes think, well, God's all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants. God is all-powerful. The question about faith, or not question, but the thing you have to understand is it's not about whether God has the power to do something. It's whether he has the authority to. Now, that throws a lot of people off, but here's what I'm going to tell you, or it can throw people off, so I should say, because based on what they've taught is that God, everything's in God's control, but that's not accurate, and it doesn't line up with God's word. God has the power to do anything, anything. God has the power to do anything, but it doesn't mean he has the authority to. Why? Because we, as his children, he's given the authority to us through his son, Jesus Christ, and it's up to us to bring those things to pass. Remember, faith without works is dead, and the way you bring something to pass is by speaking it out. It's by using the authority in your spirit through your voice, exercising your faith to call those things that be not as they were, but as they are meant to be. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today's teaching. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can find all of our teachings. You can stream them 24 hours a day at no cost from there. In addition, we invite you to swing by our social media and connect with us. We invite you to go by our YouTube channel. We also invite you to go by our Facebook page or our Twitter. And at that point, we're inviting you to connect with these. Get connected, like them, share them, subscribe to them, and then share them with your friends. If these teachings are helping you, it's a good chance they're going to help others as well, and it'll open the doors for you to being able to explain to them things that you've wanted to talk to them or are led to talk to them about. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Hallelujah.
Questions, clarity?
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Yeah, I counted nine. He identifies nine benefits, but he did say there were more.
Mm-hmm. But I did, when I wrote them out, the way he did them,
oh, okay.
Because I wrote out, I have 11.
You got 11? Okay, this is,
yep.
I got direct relationship with God, talking to him, arrest, refreshing, and peace, that's two. And then personal edification builds up the atmosphere, God's atmosphere, the atmosphere, you know, God in the atmosphere. Increases the level of elevates the level of our praise, thanksgiving, and worship. That's five. Increases our sensitivity to the things of God and to his voice. I think that's six.
Develop God's anointing.
Develop God's anointing.
increases your anointing.
Develops and increases our anointing.
So you're saying that's the same?
Yes.
Okay. Then it allows us to pray about the future.
Oh, yes.
And then allows God to bring protection for us.
Protection and deliverance.
So all together, I counted more than that.
Yeah, I know you counted more than that. But some of them were and instead of the next one, you know. But that's all right. You know, hey, we you got the gist of all of that. But, you know, before we close for tonight, I just want to take a time for us to begin just to speak in tongues, just to use our prayer language, because I think it's essential for our walk with Him. Hallelujah. We bless your name today, Lord. We glorify your name, oh God. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for touching our bodies, oh God, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, oh God. We thank you, Lord, glory to God, for your healing breakthrough, oh God. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for you just being who you are to us. We thank you, Lord, for the desires of our minister, Linda, and Doreen, and Minister Doreen, and Minister Janice, and Minister Jane, oh God, for everyone, oh God. Hallelujah, glory to God. We thank you, Lord, for moving by your spirit. Hallelujah. Minister Jerry Cleveland, Rock Camino, oh God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for blessing them, oh God. Hallelujah. For blessing Evangelist Julie and Jennifer, oh God. Hallelujah. Glory to Anna and Ava and Kitty, oh God, touching her body. We send your word to heal and deliver her in Jesus' name. We send your word to heal, hallelujah, deliver, hallelujah. Pastor Lewis, oh God, even Pastor Viola, oh God, we touch their bodies, oh God. In the name of Lord Jesus, we pray for Damon, oh God. Hallelujah, we touch his body, mind, and spirit, oh God. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, Antoine and Antonio, oh God, and hallelujah, Dexter, all of them, oh God. We pray Marion and Bertie, oh God, touch them, oh God. Shake the boat for the eight day, money that eight day.
Thank you, God.
No more money, each day, eight day. We used to do Rachel, oh God, but he has to buy. Shut down my thoughts about your day today. No, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, and Earl and Tia and Alicia and
thank you.
Tiny and Hallelujah and Kimberly, the whole family, oh God, buddy up the work today. Hallelujah, glory to God. We have the Danielle, oh God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, no, no.
A whole family, oh God. Hallelujah. But it's your mother, that's a bullshit, KD. We thank you, Lord, that the memory of the justice blessed, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that your word is the life unto our feet and the life unto our path, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for Manny, and we thank you, Lord, for Benjamin, the technician that came today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Paula and Bob and Martha and Pat, oh God. Y'all we shake it, my God. Everyone in this block, oh God. We got your boat shake it in there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Willie Mae Patterson, oh God. Carl Powell King, oh God. We got your boat shake it in there, my God. We got your boat shake it in. And that James and family, oh God. We got your boat shake it in there. Shake my cha-cha. She came in there. Alosa, my name is Leslie and Don Govard, hallelujah. Valerie and Tony Montone, oh God. Y'all appreciate it. Say, hey, whoa, she can't talk. Adrian Scott, oh God. Hallelujah. William Orange, oh God. Harry Warsaw, Maisha Warsaw. Margaret Brown, oh God. Margaret Pearson, Evangelist Margaret Pearson, oh God. With all these people, she came, my name is Alosa, my patient. With all the Pastor Maxine and Theodis Lee. Oh, Pastor Theodis. Body, mind, and spirit of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we send your word to heal right now. Psalms 107, verse 20, oh God. We praise your name today, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for Bible study on tonight. Glorify your name, oh God. We praise your name, oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to walk the walk and talk the talk, oh God. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah. That your anointing, your blessings be revealed and your glory be revealed in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the team, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Peaches, oh God. Touch it from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, from inside out and outside out. We thank you for healing for the bones and marrow. Hallelujah, glory to God. The muscles and the tendons, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, strengthening and encouraging her and building her up, oh God. We thank you, Lord. But meeting her at the point of her need and then giving her super abundantly above. We praise and do magnify your name, oh God. We glorify your name today, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Papa, Papa, Papa.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Anointed one. You're the holy and anointed.
God loves you. We love you too. Nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah.